Lord, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we, as we have sung, the children of thy love have gathered together, and we seek a blessing from thee, and already feel blessed that we are here with thy presence. And as we open thy word, our Lord, we pray that our hearts would simply be fixed upon thy eternal word, that our hearts would be open, that we receive the blessings that thou art willing to pour down upon each one of us, the children of thy love. So abide thou with us in this moment as we open thy word and call upon thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, with the Lord's help, I desire that we would open and read together from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 5. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 5, the first 16 verses. Ljubavno želim da se pročita iz Evanđelja po Mateju, peta glava, prvi 16 brojeva. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
O gracious Lord, our Father in heaven, in this morning hour we come before thy presence and we bless thy holy name. Father, we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast brought us together, thou hast filled us with thy presence and with thy peace in our hearts, and a great joy, Lord, knowing that we are coming before thee, the Almighty God, who is from everlasting to everlasting, and are reading from thy word, which is eternal. And Father, we have even now read the words of Jesus Christ, Lord, and how he taught a multitude, and now how he teaches us this morning, how we are to let our light shine, how we are to be the salt of this earth. And that is the words of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we just pray thee that as a message would come forth now in this morning hour, as thou hast ordained it, Father, that we would be attentive to hear and then to do what thou wouldst have us to do. Father, truly, if we were to be hearers only, Lord, we would come up empty, Father, and our lives would be void. Father, but when we know that and have seen it in the past and can testify, Lord, that when we hear thy word and then when we follow through with the implementation of thy word, Lord, that we have a sense of fulfillment, a sense of a joy that no man can take away, a sense of a peace that can only come from Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we would just pray, Lord, that by the strength of thy Holy Spirit, by thy great grace that thou hast in store for each and every one of us, that we would have a desire in our heart to do that which we hear in this day. And so, Father, we would do it, Lord, for thine honor and for thy glory. that thou hast received the praise, that men would turn their hearts unto thee, that more souls would be saved, that names would be written in the Lamb's book of life. This is our desire in doing thy will. Father, help us, Lord, that we would not be deceived, that when we would do something according to thy will, that we would receive some praise to ourselves. Help us, Lord, that that deception that the evil one would bring our way, Father, would not be in us. Father, but that we with a simple, obedient heart would do those things which thou wouldst have us to do and give thee the praise and to give thee the honor. And so our prayer is, Lord, that each and every one that is gathered here in this sanctuary in this day, Father, would receive of thee a blessing. Lord, a blessing that cannot be contained, one that overflows. And so we just pray thee that as we are gathered together, thou dost know the needs of everyone. Lord, we do not. And we know that thou canst do great things. We can do that. We cannot do that which is least. And so we just lean upon thee and pray upon thee, pray to thee, Lord, that thou wouldst provide for each and every one that is gathered here, each soul, from the youngest to the oldest, Father, that thou wouldst pour out thy blessing upon them. Grant comfort where comfort is needed. Grant, Lord, a companionship to those who are lonely. Be thou the strength to those who are weak. Be thou all things to each and every one that is gathered here. Father, we live in a world where there is much discouragement, there is much disappointment, Father, and much evil. And we wonder even how much longer thou wouldst have patience, Father. But as we gather ourselves in thy sanctuary in this day, Father, may we find that which our soul needs, Lord, to be fed and to be filled by thee. And so we just pray for each and every one that is gathered here. For those that are not able to be here, Father, we would pray for them likewise. Lord, that thou wouldst provide for them, Lord, whose bodies will no longer be so mobile, Father, that thou wouldst provide for them even through the power of thy Holy Spirit. And so we just look to thee now, Lord, that thou wouldst bless our brothers as a message would come forth. May those who know thee not be touched by the leading of thy Holy Spirit, that they might recognize just how much thou dost love them, and just how great the price was that was paid that their sins might be washed away. Father, may they come to that recognition. And so we just give thee the honor and the praise where we have failed thee, Father, in whatever form that might be in the past days, weeks. Father, we would just simply ask thee that thou wouldst forgive us. Show to us where we have failed. Help us, Lord, that we would have grace to repent and to turn from those things that please thee not, that we might walk upright before thee, that we might please thee well. Many are the things that we can ask of thee, knowing that through faith thou wilt provide that which we ask of thee. But we just commend all things unto thee, praying this through the Holy Spirit, asking it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We can just say again, amen, to the prayer that was uttered. Dear ones, we've asked for much. We gave thanks for much in word. And if our hearts are there, the Lord is glorified. He is honored. And we realize that through our own goodness, through our own ability, there's nothing. We're empty. Empty vessels, unable to do anything. And to actually, as was mentioned in the prayer, to be deceived, to have the deception, to feel that if something was done, that men would actually honor us for a good that we have done, that we would be deceived to actually be lifted up in spirit in some way to the sin. And God forbid that those thoughts would enter our hearts of feelings of being good. But all blessings, everything that we seek comes from the Father above. Last night we sang a hymn that I thought of, and I actually took a photo of the hymn because there's no way I could remember it. But the words were really impressed upon my heart the need of something that what we, a question is really being asked. And in this hymn it says, you have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase. So who here hasn't longed, has a desire in his heart that we would have this sweet peace that was prayed much about, have a sweet peace and for my faith to increase? It says, you have longed for that. You have and it says, you have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed. The blessings that we beseech him for, that we ask him for so much already this morning before the service has barely started. It says, but you cannot have this until all on the altar is laid. Second verse says, would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You want to have peace? You want to have contentment always? This is what you want? It says, you must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, your all you must lay. And then the question comes to us, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the spirit control? Does the heart control our heart? And does the spirit control our heart? It says, then the statement comes, you can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. We seeking blessings today. We pray for blessings. The Lord is willing to pour them upon us, all of us, if we yield him our body, our soul, if we lay it all upon the altar of sacrifice, meaning there's nothing of me. Am I willing to do that? I can only be blessed if I do that. And so that hymn, as we sang it, I thought about, what is this really just bringing us to? It's bringing us to a purity of heart. That's really what this hymn writer is focusing and bringing us to, in one simple sentence to be said, purity of heart, something that today is not really exalted, not really spoken much of, not really something that is embraced. Purity of heart. Purity of heart, dear ones, solves everything in this life. It solves all of my unrest. It gives me the peace. It gives me the peace that I so long for and pray for continually. My faith to increase it and so on. All of that comes from a purity. A purity meaning I've been born again. This is what Jesus has spoken of more than anything, a purity in heart, to yield ourselves over unto him, that he would empower us. Revelation speaks about the white robes, having the white robes and the crown upon our heads. That's talking of a purity. The white robes are purity, righteousness. Purity and righteousness is what Jesus is speaking of in this portion of Scripture that we have read. And then comes the crown. Crown is power. The power comes through the white robes, the purity, the righteousness. And we say, well, it's none of my own righteousness. Absolutely, it's none of our own righteousness. Because if we say that, we've already been deceived. We've already been deceived to think that, look at me. I've puffed myself up. I am void of the Spirit to feel that way. So righteousness is something that is imputed upon us. That's our standing before God. But dear ones, the sanctification calls, demands something from me and from you. It demands purity in life. And the power, the crown is given when I yield him my body and soul. There is nothing but victory for us, brothers, sisters, and dear friends. There's no need to read, because when I read this chapter, When I read the next chapter, when I read the following chapter, brothers and sisters, I can only speak to you openly and honestly. I feel oftentimes defeated. Is this all a picture of who I am? It has to be. It has to be. Jesus doesn't lay out something for us to just have a longing. Do you long for sweet rest? Do you long for this? Do you earnestly pray for it? Is that all it's meant to? Here's a perfect way that you can just aspire to. You'll never get there. You can aspire to it. Is that what the Lord would lay out for us? No. You yield Him your body. You yield Him your soul. And you will enjoy this sweet peace, the rest, the blessings of a purified heart. The blessings of a pure heart, purified heart, which gives us the assurance that we will see God. I can preach religion. You can preach religion. You can preach apostolic religion. You can preach any religion. You can preach any type of Christianity or anything. If it's coming from a man and his rules and his ways, we're going to be lost. But if we preach Christ, Christ crucified, purity in heart, dear ones, we'll never be lost. We will adhere to Him. We've laid ourselves out. We've yielded our heart, our body, and our soul. That which is vile, we've given it. And He takes that which is vile, and He gives us purpose. As it says here, you are the salt. You're the salt of the earth. Salt is a miracle. Salt is a miracle. Because you separate the two components of salt. You take hydrochloric acid and you put it on your hand. It will disappear. Your flesh will be eaten away. You drink it and within seconds you're going to die. But you add sodium to it and it becomes a necessary ingredient for this life to continue, for preservation, for everything that the salt does. You can't have it unless you add sodium to it. Isn't that what God does? When He adds to this, to us, He adds His grace. He pours His grace upon us. And now we, who are vile alone, become useful and necessary. Necessary for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, we, who are nothings alone, without His grace, suddenly become useful and a glory unto Him. Not because of anything I've done, not because of anything which you have done, but because He has poured His grace upon me and empowered me and given me the will to do His will. Even that doesn't come from me. Nothing is good that's going to come from me. But then, purified in heart, given a new birth, something that Jesus continually teaches and preaches. You must, my dear friend, be born again. If you're going to look at the scripture and you're going to listen to our sermons, you're going to listen to the teachings of Sunday school, of anywhere you go, if the word is open and you hear the teachings, you're going to shrink in fear. If you strictly look at what God demands from you, you're going to say, I can't do that. And you can't. But you can do one thing. And this is the hardest thing to do. And it's the only thing that the Lord asks of you. Give me your heart. Give me your body and soul. I will empower you. I will teach you. And I will show you. And what did He do? He lived. He lived what He preached here. He is the only one that has ever lived this sermon to its perfection. Because He is perfect. And He's the giver. And so He came and He showed us a life that is worth living. A life outside of Him, my dear friend, is not worth living. You can pursue, make pursuits. You can go to school and get educated. And you can have a wonderful job and you can make and have the possessions, whatever you want, whatever your heart desires. You can have it. But you're still going to be longing for that sweet rest, that peace that you're not going to find here. Everything you find is temporal. Nothing lasts and certainly doesn't go beyond the grave. I don't need to tell anyone here, and we don't need to hear from one another, you're not going to take anything with you. We've had funerals. We've seen bodies that are dead. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. It's only good for the ground. But where is that soul? That we will face that one day, that our bodies are laid out to be viewed, so that our families will be comforted by the presence of all who come together. But where are we? Have I yielded my body and soul? Have I given everything unto Christ? Have I lived in the shadow of His wing? He would that you would come. Just like He would that Israel would come. Come unto Me. He wills also that you, my dear friend, would come to Him. I have the answer for you. And I'm willing to give you, to empower you, not so that you can glory, not so that I can glory, but that He would be glorified and that He would be honored. You can only have peace and sweet rest with Him when you yield Him your all. The formula is laid out. The first thing Jesus says is you must have genuine humility. That's the first thing the Lord is asking. You must have genuine humility. You must be poor in spirit. Without that, you will never grow. Never. Don't even try it. If you're not genuinely seeing your lost condition, I need Jesus. I am vile without Him. I am no good. And you might say, well, why are you talking about me being that bad? Any soul outside of Christ, any life outside of Christ, is an empty life. But with Christ, there's fulfillment in spite of hardships, diseases, with illnesses, with everything that comes in life, in a cursed earth. Everything that comes upon us, sadnesses. Sometimes the sadnesses are so deep. They're so hard. But God gives grace in those times when I've laid my body and soul upon the altar of sacrifice. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But I have to have a genuine humility. I have to be poor in spirit, because when I am genuinely humbled, the kingdom of heaven is mine. Wow. Break that pride within me. Tear that down, Lord. Break down those things that are lifting me up and making me feel better than someone else. That make me actually feel like I've done something for You, Lord. Break those things down. Those are idols. Break down every idol. Cast out everything, every foe. Cast it out. Pray to the Lord. He answers. When the heart is genuine, when it desires Him, you will be filled. He says here, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. There's a promise. That's not, well, you might. You'll get a little bit. I'll give you a little sprinkling just so you can tease you. But then keep aspiring to what I've laid out. You hunger and thirst for Me. Jesus says, I am righteous. None is righteous other than Him. You seek Me, you're going to be filled. You're going to be filled. I will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus will give Himself to us. The indwelling of His Holy Spirit empowers, enlightens. You're the light of the earth. Or the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Does anyone want to put a bushel over a light? Light is a miracle itself. It dispels darkness. A heart that is given its all, laid it all on the sacrifice, on the altar of sacrifice. And the indwelling Spirit of God dwells in me. His light lightens and gives a path to a world that cannot find light outside of me. And when I say that, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about everyone who is in Him, where the genuine light of Jesus Christ and His gospel shines forth. It's the only place. You can't find it anywhere else. You're not going to find it in billboards. You're not going to find it a method. You're not going to find a way in which you can shine other than through Jesus Christ and have the indwelling Spirit of God rule within you, and you light the path through His Word. But you have to be meek. Moses was meek. It says he was the meekest of all men on the earth. And we know no one was as meek as Jesus Christ. And today we know the world doesn't preach meekness. The world doesn't teach meekness. No, glory, power, have, give me, 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 me. That's all you're going to hear. And Christ says, no, none of you, all of me. Lay it all on the sacrifice, on the altar of sacrifice, all of it. And it's going to be all about me. And when it's all about Jesus, we are lights, we are salt. There's a miracle that happened. We suddenly are able to light, to point the nations to Jesus Christ. That is my, brothers and sisters, that is my and your only job, if I call it that. To point those who are lost to Jesus Christ. Should I change the word? Should I just say, let me just preach you a little bit of something and take him? No. The gospel, Jesus didn't hold back. He didn't hold it back from anyone who proclaimed that he knew him, who proclaimed that they knew God, the Pharisees, Sadducees in particular. And he didn't hold it back from those who had no clue of the law even, perhaps. Or had no pretension that they were followers of God. He didn't hold anything back. He didn't hold anything back from the rich young ruler who came to him, asked him, what is the secret? What is the secret? He didn't hold anything back. He didn't call him back. Come back, come back. It's okay. You can just start here. When we start with Christ. He purifies the heart, and everything goes from there. Yes, there's growth, absolutely. But that comes from a purifying of the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He talks about mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Everything today is about justice. Justice, justice. He deserved that. Good. That's what he needs. He deserved it. Everything is about justice. As a matter of fact, the law, his heart and soul was justice. The heart and soul of the gospel is mercy. Mercy. Do we have mercy? Are we merciful? Or are we like, is it raging within us, boiling within us? Ugh. Just want justice for, because he did me wrong. How could he have done that? It's in us. It can be in us. We're not pure in heart. Does that mean that we will not see God? Whoa, that doesn't sound so good now. It doesn't sound like it can really cruise through these verses and, yeah, good. Read a good passage of scripture today. Went to Sunday church. I feel good. Because the opposite of not being pure in heart means also not seeing God. Is that what I've entered into this road? This narrow way? Is that what I've entered into this narrow road? Being deceived that I'm there? Because if I'm not pure in heart, if I'm not merciful, if I'm not a peacemaker, if I'm not hungering and thirsting for Him, if I'm not meek, if I'm not humble, does that mean then that I am His? Does that mean that, well, those are things that I aspire to, I plan to one day be there? Don't talk so harshly to me. Who are you? You're weak too. Absolutely, we all are weak. But when we yield our body and soul to Him, we are strong. So when we're doing it on our own, and when we justify ourselves, our actions, our weaknesses, our sins, our angers, our passions, when I justify it, it's about me. I feel I deserve this. I need this. I worked hard. I, and it's nothing about Jesus, 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 my Savior, my King. Dear ones, we want to teach our children how to be successful in life. We teach them how to work. We teach them to be not to be lazy. And actually, laziness, the Lord says, the man who doesn't work should not eat. Period. The man who is able and doesn't want to work, he shouldn't eat. So we teach them these principles. We teach our children these principles. But more than anything, it's so that when we're gone, they can continue in life to support themselves and so on. And we make an effort. We teach them these things. We lay out how to do this, how to do that. But all of that, my dear friend, you children, who we teach, who we point and instruct in how to do these things, those are all very necessary. But without Christ, it's all meaningless. You can make it. You can make it. You can be it all. Without Him, there's just emptiness, futility. And you will lay one day and be viewed. And where is your soul? Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the spirit control? Your heart, that's a burning question, isn't it? Your heart, does the spirit control? Apostle Paul over and over embraces all that Jesus has taught him and revealed unto him. And he preaches it. And he talks about the filthiness of the flesh. And he understood that without Christ, he was nothing. Though he was rich, though he was educated, though he was in the law, blameless. Blameless. I can't even understand what that word means when you apply it to one of us. He says he was blameless. And yet, he saw without Christ, he was nothing. And he threw everything away. Everything. Had to go aside. Not, well, this for me, this for me, this for Christ. That's what he told the young ruler. Sell everything that you have. Empty your wants, your will, your, what you want. Get rid of everything. Give me your heart. I can work with you when you give me your heart. You don't give me your heart, you haven't given me anything. You can do and do and do, but you've done nothing. You've given me nothing. You may deceive me, and I may deceive you. And I can pretend, and you can pretend. But we're going to face Him. We're going to face Him. And this is He going to then dismiss the Sermon on the Mount for me? Well, you know, you tried and you knew where you failed, but it's okay. It's okay if you always got angry at everybody. It's okay if someone put you down and right away anger flared up in you. It's okay. That means the Lord is a changing Lord. That means he's not true. He can't change. He can't. And so, will I see God? Am I pure in heart? Why do we dismiss the little things? Is there such a thing as a little sin? Is there such a thing that I can act in a certain manner and consider it little? Who considers it little? The deceiver will deceive me to feel that it's little, to feel that I don't need repent, that I don't need to repent. The liar. We know that the talking about peacemakers, they will be called the children of God. Are we peacemakers or do we light fires? Hey, whispering, guess what he said about you? Guess what he did? Oh, passions get inflamed, all kinds of stuff. Rumors, amplification takes place, this and that. And are you a peacemaker? You will be called the children of God. We sang the hymn, we are the children of thy love. Are you a child of God if you are not a peacemaker? What's the opposite say? I'm not a peacemaker. Well, you'll still be called a child of God. Where am I going to find that? In the books of the world, I will. In man's wisdom, I'll find it. But not in God's. The first sin on earth we know was separated man from God. The second sin separated man from man. What was that? Jealousy, hatred, strife. We, empowered by the Spirit of Almighty God, are to be peacemakers. Brother, let's go talk to this brother. Isn't that what it tells us? What you just said? This brother needs to be pointed back to Christ. Let's go. Let's go talk to him. Gossip will stop. Sin will stop. Repentance takes place. Humility comes about to God's glory and his honor. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He says, blessed are ye when men will revile you, persecute you, and will say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. What? I am persecuted? I'm reviled. They're saying all kinds of evil against me. I've done nothing to them. I've just brought out Christ. I've just talked about who Christ is and the power that he gives and who he is. And I'm hated. He says they hated me first. And they will hate you too. But he says rejoice. Isn't that why Peter was able to rejoice? He remembered this sermon. It says here, his disciples came unto him. And he taught them. And these words were remembered by the blessed apostles who were persecuted, who were reviled. And they were rejoicing. They were exceedingly glad that they were chosen by God to suffer for him. Brothers and sisters, I can't even pretend to know the depth of that meaning, to rejoice that the Lord has chosen me to suffer, to be put on fire, to be pierced with a sword, to be tied up in prison, to know that tomorrow I'm going to die. Praise God that he chose me to be the light to point to him. The blessings are promised to us, beloved. The blessings are many, innumerable, innumerable. My dear soul, outside of Christ, the blessings are innumerable. You can't find them anywhere but here in his word. And so the question comes to all of us. Does the heart, does the spirit, your heart control? May the good Lord be with us in spirit as we seriously approach that question in the light of his word. Amen.
Beatitudes build off each other, and they are all worked together. The Beatitudes are not separate from each other, but they're all together, and they build off each other. So there is the poor of spirit. There is that mourn, the meek, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, and the peacemakers. These all build off of each other. And so if we have the righteousness which we are to hunger and thirst after, we will have that poor of spirit attitude within us. We will mourn, we will be meek, we will be pure in heart. We will be peacemakers. And so the Holy Spirit will work in us. It'll be that element that makes us who are vile to be pure, if we have that righteousness. And so Jesus later on says, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Our righteousness, the righteousness that we would hunger for, that is of Jesus Christ, needs to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, their righteousness. The Bible says further on, for they, the scribes and the Pharisees, being ignorant of God's righteousness, this righteousness that we're supposed to hunger for, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. We are to submit ourselves to the righteousness of God. Further on, the Apostle Paul says, and being found in him, in Jesus, not having mine own righteousness, but that righteousness which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And so may it be that we have a genuine faith. Faith in him who can do all things. Faith in him who is from everlasting to everlasting. As we have faith in him, he will impute unto us his righteousness, and having his righteousness, then we will be meek. Then we will be merciful. Then we will be a peacemaker. But we have to go back to the root. It's having faith in him who can do all things. When we have faith in him, he will impute his righteousness unto us, and we can be that salt to this earth and a light to the world. So may God grant unto us that we would have that faith in him, that when the winds of life beat vehemently upon our house of faith, that it may stand because we are founded upon him who makes all things possible, Jesus Christ. Amen.